was incredibly devoted to getting up at daybreak, before daybreak actually, because he always wanted to hear the very first song, no matter...
Debbie Miller was Richard Nelson's partner for the last 9 years of his life. I first met her a couple of years ago while she hiked with him right here on Thimbleberry Lake Trail in Sitka. I ran into Nels, as he was called by his friends, often on this trail, and I guess I wasn't the only one.
I don't know. Laura. I'm Laura.
Oh. Hi, Laura. Nice to meet you, Debbie.
Hi.
Laura Schmidt and Linda Benkin are also regulars.
And I remember so often running into Nels on this trail when he was recording, so it's just such a sweet... Yeah, I just stood there this morning and thought about him.
And Connie LaPerriere.
Another thing I thought about all the times I've met him up here. And I thought, yeah, he was coming up with his little dish and everything. Yeah. And I thought, oh, God, that was awesome. So
LaPerriere's son, Zach LaPerriere, is the wood artist who created the enormous yellow cedar bench that Miller and I are visiting today. Miller and the Sitka Conservation Society opted for a functional monument and enduring. Sitkins can sit on it and take in the lake and the mountains, but so will their grandchildren, and probably their grandchildren's grandchildren.
So this was negotiated with the city?
Yes, the city gave us a permit to do everything from getting the tree, the yellow cedar tree that we counted the rings. It's 640-year-old yellow cedar tree that was actually by Heart Lake, and this was a fallen tree. You know, it was a dead tree, because Zach never uses live trees. And both of us were pretty surprised that this tree was that old.
Bench, by the way, is an understatement. These hewn slabs and their concrete foundations may weigh around 2,000 pounds. Miller has named it the listening place. People who knew Nelson can easily picture him here. People who have never heard of him may get a nudge.
His name is on the bench in the listening place, but I picked a quote that he really loved from Island Within, which I think many consider to be one of his, greatest works. And it is the ancient wisdom of birds that battles are best fought with song. I think that carries a really powerful message that brings great peace when you think about it deeply, and just the beauty of birds and their songs, and that they establish territories by singing, not by fighting. And he loved that quote, so that was one of the reasons why I picked that one. And many other people have commented that they like that quote. So my thought is, if somebody comes 100 years from now and they sit on this bench, maybe they'll look and they'll be curious, why is this place the listening place? Who was Richard Nelson? And maybe they'll see that it says the Island Within on the plaque, so they might go to the library, they might pick up the book, and they might go, oh, now I understand.
I'm in a big forest of aspen trees in the interior of Alaska, in the valley of the Tanana River. When I look off toward the
Richard
south,
Nelson's legacy probably will be as a former state writer laureate, the author of The Island Within and Make Prayers to the Raven, and several other major cultural anthropologies, hundreds of articles, and a handful of documentary films. But his radio program Encounters is what still resonates in our heads. Each episode was a half hour long, with Nelson vividly describing the courtship behavior of a bird or mammal, the importance of rainfall, or the mysteries of the aurora. Getting it right in one take sometimes took days. Just finding the subject and approaching it with his parabolic microphone was an undertaking.
And that ruff is where the ruffed grouse gets its name.
I only was lucky enough to go out with him once on one program that he did up near Fairbanks, actually, and I was just there to help him. And it was amazing. It was the ruffed grouse program, and it took several days to find the bird that would cooperate with this parabolic, device and not be scared off. And he finally found this one male ruffed grouse, and we nicknamed him Elvis because he would only sing, to Nels, and I think there was something going on there.
This is why the listening place makes so much sense as a memorial. The wood of the bench will weather from brilliant yellow to gray over time, and people will arrive here who won't remember Richard Nelson and probably won't pick up one of his books. But Nels will have the last laugh, because we will always stop and listen here, and it's the act of listening that can open our eyes.
If you just wait and observe, that's when you sort of get the gift.
Right.
That's when the buck steps out from behind the bush or whatever.
That's a beautiful way of saying it, and it reminds me of this 100-year-old lady that was interviewed in Central Park, of all places, in the middle of New York City, and the reporter asked her, you know, well, how do you successfully do this, live to be 100 years? And she said, I go outside every day and something always wonderful happens. And that's how I think Nels viewed nature. Go outside every day, and if you listen and are observant, something really wonderful happens. You discover something new.
And then here he goes. Rapidly accelerates to that flurry of high-speed thumping, and when he's in the middle of it, his wings are completely blurred. You can hardly even see him.
Reporting from The Listening Place in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.